This was a sermon series that we began several weeks ago. For those of you who don't know, it's called the XYZs of Christmas. We were going to call it the ABCs of Christmas, and then Vicar decided he wanted to go backwards. So we decided we're going to go backwards. So as you've noticed, the letter progression is heading back so that on December 24th, Vicar will be taking the next set. And then on December 31st, we're going to finish up the series on that day with the first five letters of the alphabet. And the theme throughout this entire time has been learning how to trust in God. Got the stopwatch. And so it's very interesting because somehow or other I ended up with the ball and I'm at about midfield, right? And I took a quick glance to the ref and I realized he's looking at his stopwatch and he's grabbing his whistle. So I'm like, oh, well, here we it's the end of the game. Like, do I even try? But I was like, you know, they got to play through these things. And so I start dribbling and I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting for the whistle to blow. But the whistle's not blowing. And everyone else is kind of slowing down. So it was a benefit to me because I could like keep going. And I'm dribbling down and I'm realizing that ref is not blowing his whistle. And so I now have a shot at the goal, but I better take the shot quick or else he's going to blow the play dead. So I just wind up and I kick the ball. I don't really aim it very well. I wasn't a very good soccer player. I just kicked and I'm thinking to myself, who knows what's going to happen? Ref's going to blow the whistle. When all of a sudden I started hearing screaming and I'm like, what is that? And just stand there. Don't move. You got to be there the whole service. But I don't think my microphone is working at all, is it? Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. All right, cool. Yeah, and I feel bad. By the way, the poor people on the live stream, the internet right now is really wonky, and so they're getting like every other word. So to them, it sounds like I'm ordering, you know, a hamburger and fries and a soda at a drive-thru. So I'm really sorry. You all should be coming to church. I don't know which camera I'm supposed to look at. So Aunt Kathy, crazy cat lady, all of a sudden you get a letter in the mail saying, you've been named in her will. And you're excited, like, how did that happen? This is incredible. But, yeah, and then you find out it's not good because she's just leaving you all of her cats. Right? It's bad. I think for most of us, we would all say that the unexpected is not fun, right? Would we? I think we would mainly agree most of the times we don't really enjoy the unexpected. Like, you're didn't know. And so now I'm sitting around wondering what to do, trying to figure things out. Today, that is what we're going to be talking about. How do we trust in God even during the unexpected? And I think this is definitely important as it ties into last week's message about how God is a compassionate God. God is one who loves and cares for his people in incredible ways. And so we can trust in him even in the unexpected because he is good and gracious. So we go through these letters, and just out of curiosity, if you were going to choose what the word would be for the letter J, what would you choose? Right, that's just the easiest answer, right? Yeah, which is why I didn't choose Jesus. What about another one? Joy, that's a good one. What was that? Jerusalem, that would have been good. That would have been unexpected. Judges? James? Is no one going to get the father of Jesus? Joseph, okay. Joseph is what I believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that comes gives light to every man. That light was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision of a husband's will, but born of God. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is Jesus. This is John's description of Jesus coming into the world. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this was seen would be Jesus. So I think for us, it's a wonderful understanding of what it means to prepare for Christmas. I know a lot of you got the lights up. We talked about that. I think a lot of you got Christmas presents. A lot of you went kind of crazy with this Cambridge Court thing. Holy cow. It's really incredible to see. And it's wonderful. All those things are absolutely wonderful. And I know for myself, it puts me into a frame of reference of the coming of Jesus. But John the Baptist came in an unexpected way. And his message is unexpected for us. And I think it's helpful for us as we get ready that sometimes it's important to strip everything away. There are times that I think it is okay to say, yeah, I have all of the stuff laid out, but I think right now I'm not going to worry about life. Was the one when Mary takes off unexpectedly to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. When she goes and visits Elizabeth, sure enough, John the Baptist is in utero as well. So John figures prevalent in there. And it's also interesting because John the Baptist's message would be slightly different than what the Magi, right? I mean, if you think of stripping everything away and bringing nothing, the Magi essentially do everything different. They bring all of these gifts, all of these lavish, wonderful, expensive things. But I was really struck as I was reading through that story back in Matthew 2 about what they said. And I've been picking it up a lot on a lot of the songs that we sing. So today, K is going to be for king. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it's interesting when that group of people. Then you've got Alfonso the 13th. That's a lot of Alfonsos. Alfonso the 13th of Spain, you can Google him. He was born in 1886. He was born 6 months after his father, Alfonso the 12th. So you know about that. And when he died in 1885, he became king in utero and reigned for nearly 45 years until he abdicated the throne in 1931. And then he left for exile in Rome and died 10 years later. But the one I was really fascinated with was John the First of France. Now, he was born in 1316. He was born 5 months after the death of his father, King Louis the 10th, and he became king immediately on his birth. He reigned for 5 days. He is the only king in history. About every president seems to be low, but you have to kind of rise through the ranks, and you've got to go out and you got to debate really well, and you got to look somewhat decent on TV, and you got to have a good argument, and then of course you got to have the backing of a major political party. But there has to be something, and most of the times when we get into the debates, what is one of the things they talk about? Well, they talk about their experience. Oh, well, I've got great foreign policy experience, or I've got good economic experience, or I've got good relationships with everyone in the government, and so I'm able to move things through, or I am a more centrist candidate. It doesn't matter. There's something that then causes us to say, this is the one we like. Like, I feel bad for, like, what happens if you don't really like the king or the queen, right? What do you do? Like, if you did not like Queen Elizabeth, man, how long did she stick around? She stuck around forever. If you don't like her, oh well. But Jesus, he is not just someone who died a king, but he currently lives and reigns at this point in time as well. So knowing who Jesus is as the king and realizing that even as a little baby, he is, in charge, very, very strange. And we should also be reminded that when we are his child, we base our self-worth not on what we've done. We don't base how we view our life because of our accomplishments or the cars we drive or the degrees we earn. But instead, we base it on what God says. And God has some very specific things he says about you. He says, "You are my beloved. You are someone who I am willing to sacrifice everything for. In fact, you are mine in a song." Levites could have worked too, but we chose late. Hark, the herald angels sing, has that line, "Late in time, behold him come." Now, I don't know about you, I don't like being late, and I really don't like people who are late. All right, who thinks like me? Who thinks like me? And who is now feeling judged by me? There you go. I wasn't going to point you out, Kelly, though. Yeah. Kelly and Sean snuck in during the sermon. Like, I wasn't specifically mentioning you, but it definitely works. Oh, is it really? But you didn't want to say it because it's like, we're late and this is not going to look good. Oh, my gosh. I've gotten to 2 weeks, then in 2 weeks, will and do. So we're like, oh, okay, that sounds like a great plan. And so we're waiting and we're waiting and waiting. We got there 2 weeks. And so we call the doctor and the doctor said, I can't do anything for you today. There are literally no hospital beds here in Mesa, Arizona. Apparently, everyone decided to have a baby at the exact same time. And so there was literally all the beds were filled. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And he's like, that's okay. This year we can cheat it one more day. So waited one more day. And he's like, okay, you're going to go to this hospital. And when you arrive, you are going to tell them that you are in labor. And he said, how good are your acting skills? So Heather's like, my acting skills are pretty good, I think. And so we get in there and, you know, I'm yelling, woman in labor, right? And she's like, ow, I hurt. That was a big contraction. No, she did much better than that. Coming in, oh, you're at 1, 2, 5, 10, 11. And finally, like, crowning, and I'm like, she's like, roll over, squeeze your legs and breathe. And Heather's like, no. And I'm like, where's the doctor? And she's like, we paged him like 12 times. This was back before cell phones. Like, we were still using pagers. And paged him like 12 times. He's not answering this page. Now he's late. And I'm getting upset because I don't like light things. Like, come on time, please. And so finally, I look at the nurse practitioner. I don't know what her degree was. I'm like, can you deliver this thing? And she's like, well, I can, but I'm not going to. I'm like, lady, get over there right now. You're going to do this. We've got to get this. And so she's like, okay. I'm like, what do I do? I don't know. Doctor's like, and then out of nowhere, boom, doctor shows up, comes in, literally three grunts, a push, baby's out, cuts the cord, he races off. I'm like, where'd the doctor go? He went to go deliver life. And I know that's hard for us, but this is where, again, I think the immortal words of Gandalf come in really well. Because they were like, Gandalf, you're late. And what does he say? A wizard is never late. He is always right on time. I don't know what you might be struggling with that is challenging to trust in. I know a lot of your stories, and I know a lot of it is a waiting story. I know for a lot of us, we end up trying to then force God's hand and accomplish God's will outside of God's will. It's very easy. It's very tempting. We might even throw a thin veneer of religiosity on it by saying, well, maybe God is wanting me to do something about this. Maybe God's asking you to wait. He's not late. Baffles me. I am amazed at what is said. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to be in verse 26. What was Mary expecting her life to look like? She was engaged to this guy. We're going to assume he's a carpenter of some sort. He seems to be a good guy. I mean, she's in love with him. There seems to be this incredible connection. And then, out of nowhere, her entire life is upended. And I don't know if you can relate to that, but sometimes I think we all can. That all of a sudden, she has this visitor that shows up in the night. Luke 1:26, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. You know, it's something important if God's got to send an angel. Because if God's sending an angel, then what's about to happen? Nope. Because I know at that point, my whole life's going to be upended and some weird stuff's going to happen. Yeah, no more. We don't tempt God that way. Yes, exactly. She said, no more babies. Yeah, we're going to guess somewhere between 12 and 15. I know that's really creepy sounding, and I'm sorry, but, you know, that's just the way it was. And Joseph, you know, could have been anywhere from 18 to 30. We don't get any of their ages, and the reason why is because it's pretty standard. So there was nothing unique about her in that. But you got to, like, how many 15-year-olds that you know are going to have the response that Mary has? Right? Again, her life is planned out. She's got it all set. Everything is good. She knows she's going to be marrying this guy named Joseph. She knows she's going to have a couple of kids. She knows that she's going to watch them grow up in the family business, and then everything's great. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up. And I love this. Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Wait, you are not moments. Are incredible. It is a model for us to follow. It is outstanding. Now, she does have one concern. She's like, I'm not sure how this is going to happen since I'm a virgin. And so the angel goes into some very technical things, which, again, we've heard the story, so we read it and we go, oh, isn't that sweet? No. What he says literally makes no sense whatsoever, and theologians, even to this day, continue to debate it. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. What does that mean? I'd have no idea. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible for God. Now, at this point, you've now been told you're going to have a baby, but you have had no relations with any man, and the power of the Most High is going to come upon you and overshadow you. Likely in jeopardy. She's going to trust in God, even though she knows that her parents are probably not going to believe her. She's going to trust in God through all of these unexpected things. And I think that's helpful for us. I know that Christmas is going to go in some strange ways. Every time I've tried to create the perfect Christmas, something always goes wrong. There's either some technical difficulty or, a fight breaks out or the power goes out or they don't have the right eggnog that I like from the store. There's always something that goes on that makes things not the way I want them to be. Now, I have to admit, I think I'm starting to learn the lesson, is that God is going to do what God is going to do. and me trying to control that situation does nothing but increase my anxiety. We see you working, and we see you doing things unexpectedly by tapping John the Baptist on the shoulder and reminding us that things are not about the presentation. Things are not about the glitz and the glamour, but it's about us repenting. Lord, we also see that it is not about us working really super hard. Instead, we see that you are the King from birth. We see that you are the one who has done everything on our behalf. And that you love us because you're our Father. And Lord, we get anxious because things are late and we don't like it. We want again to make things happen on our timetable, and yet you've never ever promised something like that to happen. So we thank you for people like Mary, who seem to have it together. I know she's not a saint, Lord. I know that she probably said other things during that day, but what was highlighted was her quiet confidence and trusting in you. So, Lord, may we